The Bible says if we fail to praise, even the rocks will cry out. And I think I've heard a few rocks cry out at times. Psalms 51:12 says to us, this is from the Message, bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. You'll recognize that from other versions of the Bible that says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I think I like that one a little bit better there, but that kind of puts it the same way. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Make me happy again, Lord. Up in Chicago, we used to go up to the old Sears Tower when I was a student at Olivet, just to go up to the top and see the views. I think it cost maybe a quarterback in those days to do that. Wow, Pastor, you're really old, aren't you? Someone told me it cost about $25 to go up there now or something like that. I remember it was quite an elevator ride up. I've been on a couple of elevators recently that just one floor kind of did me in. You go up and you bounce, but that thing taking you up that, 130 floors or something like that, just kind of whoosh, and then you kind of feel it do this, and you think you're going to fall over. We used to go up there just to see the view. I understand that now that it's called the Willis Tower, that they have the newest and latest thing on the observation deck floor. They have a glass booth that sticks from the side of that building 4 feet out. It's 10 feet high. It's 10 feet wide. It is, are you ready for this? 1,350 feet above the street. Don't look down. It would be kind of scary, I would think. I imagine the views would be absolutely amazing if you could stand it. Tell me it holds 5 tons. The glass is 1.5 inches thick. Absolutely amazing. I've thought about glass ceilings. I hadn't heard that phrase for a long time, but I used to hear the phrase, there's a glass ceiling. There's one problem if you're caught behind glass. There's no way out. I hate to admit this, but I've had a couple times where I've been walking along and the glass was so clean I didn't know it was there and I ran right into a door. It hurts. It doesn't feel good. You kind of bounce a little bit, and if you're lucky, you don't fall. Sometimes in our lives, we all of a sudden can see something that we know it needs to be done. We know what needs to be done, but we just simply can't reach it because there's some barrier there, the glass ceiling that's between us and that thing that we need to be done. Last week I spoke about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, the things in our lives that hold us back, the things that keep us from doing our very best spiritually. I came across that verse again this morning. Put on the full armor of God. Well, if I'm going to put on the full armor of God, I've got to get rid of those things in my life that hold me back. Looking at the life of King David, I see several things in his life that were dramatic. Things that tried to hold him back. Things that kept him down. Those glass ceilings that kept him from going higher and higher with God, but also things that he was able to overcome. One of those things is one of those cutesy little kid stories. David and Goliath. Only a boy named David. Only a little sling, and the song goes on and on. And we teach it to our kids in Sunday school, and we hear it all through life. David and Goliath. David slew the giant. As I look at that story, I see a glass ceiling there for David. He was young. He was inexperienced. But he was also young, and at times I'm sure he felt invincible. He was a musician. He was a shepherd. He was an armor bearer. That was a personal assistant and a bodyguard to a high government official. Could be the king, could be a head of the army or whatever, but he was an armor bearer as well. As I look at the life of David, I'm thinking of different things that happened in my own life, and different things that I've seen happen to younger older teenagers who had the strength and had the ability to do things, but they were told, you're too young, you can't do this. You're too inexperienced, you can't do this thing. I remember when we were at the camp up in Michigan, the summer that our son turned 16, I was going to have him cut grass all summer for me. And I was told, you can't hire to have him cut the grass because he's too young to run the tractor. If you ran any tractor over 40 horsepower, you had to be at least 18 years old. Wow. I remember looking at the person from the Department of Labor and saying, you mean I can't hire these two 16-year-olds, but I could say to my son, take our full-size van, go hook it up to the 30-foot camper that we had at the time, and get on the highway and pull that down to the next town and take it in for repair, but he can't run that 40-horsepower tractor because he's too young and he's too inexperienced. And the guy said, I don't make the rules, I just have to make sure they get followed. I think David was in that place. He could do the job, but he was too young. He was too inexperienced. He refers to the fact in 1 Samuel 17:36. I've been out being a shepherd. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. I can go after Goliath, the Philistine pig. And that's the message for you. Who was taunting the troops of God alive. He was saying, I'm tough. I might be young, but I can do this thing because God's on my side. I back up a little bit to 1 Samuel 17:26, and he's talking to everybody around him. He's talking to the men standing around him. He said, what's in it for the man who kills that Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? He was interested in doing the job because everybody else was scared to death. The Bible tells us that Goliath would come out. Goliath was huge. Goliath would come out, and he would look around, and he would yell and taunt the troops, nobody can get me. And so, here's only a boy named David, 12, 13, 14 years old, saying, I can do this. And his brothers started laughing at him. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. Go back home where you belong. David wanted to do a task. He felt he knew to do the task, and nobody else wanted to do it. Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. I wonder when David came out and saw Goliath, I wonder what he thought. I wonder what he said to himself. Imagine him standing there looking at Goliath. What did he say? What did he think?
Whoa. That is one big papacita.
There's a guy that works at TGI Fridays. I think he's 7 foot tall. What, Mel? 7'1"? 7 foot 1 inches tall. I think Mel walked in there one day and saw him and looked at him and went, how tall are you? Is that right, Mel? We walked in there for dinner one Sunday, and as we walked in, the guy was there, and I looked up. I thought he was standing on some kind of a little platform or something there behind the little table there where they take care of when you first walk in. And all of a sudden, I realized that he wasn't, and another person who was with us was standing there. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Kurt Swob. He was there with us, and he walked in, and I saw Kurt do this. Man, you're tall. Wow. I think I was looking at his belly button. He was tall. Here's David, a boy, looking at Goliath. Man, you're tall. I would think that would have to scare David half to death. But David had a secret. God had talked to him and put him up to something. And in Samuel 17:47, we find everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by the means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing us to you. He's handing you to us on a platter. The battle belongs to God. I think of the prayer that was answered this week for one of our families. And I got to tell you what, it came down to the fact the battle belonged to God and He took care of it and handed him the answer right on a platter. Absolutely amazing. Let me tell you, when you come up against something that is so big, you can't get around it, you can't get over it, you can't get under it, you need to go right through it with the help of God Almighty. That's what David did. Man, you're tall, but I'm going to go right through you. Because the battle is the Lord's. I look at David a little bit later in his life. He came up against another battle, Bathsheba. There was Bathsheba on her patio, the lovely Bathsheba, taking a bath. David was about 47 years old at this time. He had been out raging battles. He had won lots of those battles. 2 Samuel chapter 11 tells us that David stayed at home while his troops were out fighting a battle. I keep thinking of idle hands, not being busy enough. When you're not busy enough, you get in trouble. He stayed in bed all day, according to the Bible. Or maybe he was taking an afternoon nap. That was a custom back then. Sounds good to me. Either way, he was awake and roaming around at evening time. Now, the other day, I was pretty worn out. I had been working all day Thursday. When I mean all day, I mean from about 9 in the morning till about midnight. I was tired when I got up Friday morning. And I was here at the church Friday morning. I was taking care of stuff Friday afternoon. And all of a sudden, about 4 o'clock, I was out, and I just felt myself just kind of like, oh, I could take a nap. So I went home and did that. Didn't sleep in my car in a parking lot somewhere. I went home and took a nap. And as I laid down, I went sound asleep, and I woke up about 8 o'clock. And I'll tell you what, I was so full of energy. I was up. I was doing things. I was looking to see what was on TV. I was restless. I understand how David was after taking a nap that day. Whether he had stayed in bed all day or whether it was just for a little while. He was up. He was at him. He was doing something. He was out where doing his thing on his patio. He was looking around, and as he looked down, he saw the lovely Bathsheba. I wonder, David, what were you thinking? I mean, a king goes to war, and he leads his men into battle. And yet, here you were at home. You were 47. What? Were you getting soft? You couldn't take it anymore? Were you tired from the previous battle? Maybe David had the attitude, if I have it made, I can let my warriors fight my battles for me. I don't need to go out there and do it. I can stay home and relax. Maybe he was feeling invincible. Maybe he was bored and needed to do something new that he had never done before.
Man, she's hot.
Wow. So that's what David was thinking when he saw Bathsheba, and then he pursued her.
Well, here's the thing, you know? I figure I'm king over all this land, right? And that right there, that's my rooftop. Right there.
David, didn't you realize her grandfather was your chief counsel and advisor?
Yeah, but man, she's taking a bath.
Had you forgotten that her father was one of your 37 mighty men?
On my rooftop, a bath.
Was she more important than your good friend and your mighty man Uriah, her husband?
Dude, she hot.
Then you had her husband sent back into battle and killed. What in the world were you thinking?
I was thinking, I'm king. That's my rooftop. She hot.
Had you forgotten her brother was your friend?
Psh, she hot, man. Don't you get it?
Unresolved issues in our lives. The walls in our lives. The glass ceiling. We can't get beyond because we've never given it to God. There was something in David's life that he had not dealt with that caused his downfall. Lust. I like that opening skit this morning. I meant to show that last week and we couldn't find it. It disappeared from the computer. But all of a sudden it was there. The end part was lust. I can do that anytime. I don't have to do it. It was something in David's life that he had not dealt with. Let me tell you this, sinful acts don't just happen. They seldom just happen, but they don't just come out of anywhere. They come because we haven't dealt with the issues in our wall that haven't gotten torn down, and somewhere all of a sudden one of them crops up and it just shows its ugly head and we cave into it. James 1 13 through 15 says to us, don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. Wow. Anger builds up and it pops out. Despair builds up and becomes horrible depression to where we're paralyzed and we can't do anything else with our lives. Something that we didn't deal with back years ago just rears its ugly head and we forget who we are. We forget where we're headed. We become weary of the battle. We tire of the hassles. We search for some fun. We think the grass is greener on the other side of the street. And we cave in to one of our unresolved issues and we sin. I read a book some time ago dealing with our non-negotiable, unalterable terms. We need to know who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and this is the way I'm going. And the only way that I can do that is if I have my life secured by power in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. It has to be done because I put on the full armor of God, because I'm living in His power. David came to his senses. He realized his downfall. He realized that the walls needed to come down, and he realized that the glass ceiling needed to be shattered if he was to be the king that God needed him to be. As I look at Psalms 51, David's great prayer, listen to it from the Message. Generous in love, God give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated.
And you've seen it all. Seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since I was before I was born. What you're after is truth from inside me. Enter me then, conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have snow white life. Tune me into a foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so that lost ones can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God, and I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place you delight in. Prepare Jerusalem's broken down walls. Then you'll get real worship from us. Acts of worship, small and large, including all the bulls they can heave on your altar.
David, praying for forgiveness. I wonder when David was doing all of his stuff, if he wondered, will anybody find out? Have you ever done something just kind of stupid and you hoped nobody would ever find out what you did? Yeah. Did you ever do something in a moment of fun and you hope nobody ever tells what you did? Yeah, we've been there. But it caught up to David, and he prayed a prayer of restoration and grace. Lord, wipe out my sins. I've been wrong. Grace. Grace does not give us permission to live in the flesh. Grace supplies power to live in the Spirit. I like that. Power to live in the Spirit. Power that'll give us above the glass ceiling. Power that'll set us on new footing. Power that let us will sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Can you sing that with David this morning? It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Just in a closing moment this morning, is it well with your soul? Have you given all those demons over to God, all those things that could just come in and destroy you over to God? Have you put on the full armor of God? Do you need to talk to God about that this morning? Just in the quiet closing moments of this service. Father, we don't want anyone to leave with having a glass ceiling above them today. That could hold them down, that could destroy them, that could keep them from living their best in you. So, Father, look at our hearts this morning, look at our souls. Talk to us. And, Father, if there's anything in our lives, any wicked way, take it out now. So we can be your men, your women, and do your work. Father, go with us from this house today. Keeping us in your peace, keeping our souls well, keeping our eyes focused on you so we can be your people. Amen. You are dismissed.